Chapter 2, The Potter and the Clay. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and all of us are the work of thy hand. Isaiah 64:8. When we are going through a marriage crisis, it is so easy to focus on what our husbands are doing to us. However, as long as you do this, you will struggle and never come to victory. We will learn that our husbands are not the enemy in one without a word. Let us learn in this chapter that God many times is not changing our husband's behavior because God is using the things that our husbands are doing as the potter's wheel and his hand to mold us more into his image. However, if we complain because we would rather he use something or someone else, not our husbands and not our marriages, as his wheel, we will wander in the desert land for years. Quarrel with his maker? It says, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth? Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?' Or the things you are making say, 'He has no hands?'" That's from Isaiah 45:9. Let God be God, and instead of complaining how or whom he uses to irritate us into finally seeking God to change us, praise him for his faithfulness. He is determined to bring you forth as a beautiful vessel ready for his use. But you don't understand. Many women tell me, as I try to comfort them or encourage them, "I just don't understand." In many ways, I do understand, yet they are right that no one except Jesus really understands. It says, "Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay, that what is made should say to its maker, 'He has no understanding?'" Isaiah 29:16. Talk to him about your situation and allow him to give you peace. He knows what's best for you, so work with him. You are in his hand. It says, "Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." That's Jeremiah 18:6. Isn't it comforting to know that you are in God's hand? Though your husband may tell you that he doesn't care or treats you as if he doesn't, your Lord does. Who else do you need? The truth is that your husband does care. My husband Dan shares on video number 4 the truth about what your husband is really thinking and feeling. God's prescription. God has a prescription for healing a nation or a family. He says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. God told us that if we would humble ourselves, if we pray, if we would seek his face, not his hand, and turn from our wicked ways, he said, "Then I will hear, forgive, and heal us." Instead, we walk in the counsel of the wicked, that's from Psalm 1:1, and trust in mankind, that's from Jeremiah 17:5. So, now we suffer the consequences, superficial healing. The Bible says, "The brokenness of his people is healed superficially," that's from Jeremiah 8:11. It also says, "And they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, 'Peace, peace,' but there is no peace." That's from Jeremiah 6:14. Instead, we are to die to self. It says, "And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." That's from 2 Corinthians 5:15. Only the humble. Humble yourselves. Self-willed, haughty people understand the word without the Spirit, but to know the mind of God, we need humility. Humility will be tested. It says, "He might humble you, testing you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Deuteronomy 8:12. Humility will save you. It says, "When you are cast down, you will speak with confidence, and the humble person, he will save." That's from Job 22:29. Humility will strengthen your heart. It says, "O Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt strengthen their heart. Thou wilt incline thine ear." Psalm 10:17. Only the humble will be exalted. It says, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble." That's from Luke 1:52. Only the humble will be given the grace that they need. It says, "But he, gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. That's from James 4, 6, and verse 10. Humility is rooted in the Spirit. It says, to sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. That's taken from 1 Peter 3:8. Your false humility will be manifested in a self-righteous attitude. Spiritual arrogance. Over half of those who come to our ministry for help to restore their marriages exhibit spiritual arrogance or self-righteousness. This is what I refer to as a Pharisee spirit. Ladies, this is so dangerous. It will prevent God from moving your marriage towards restoration, and it is what really is driving your husband away. God showed me in His Word that Jesus was only harsh, critical, and opposed to one set of individuals, the Pharisees, and I was one of them. There are so many Christian women who pretend to be spiritual on the outside but are filthy on the inside. There are so many women who look at their husband's sins yet neglect to look at their own log in their own eye. Ladies, this was me. I saw my husband and his sin of adultery. However, no one could see my contentiousness, my deceitfulness, or my spiritual arrogance. Others saw me, and I saw myself, as the poor victim who had been abandoned and cheated on. But I, in my self-righteousness, was willing to forgive. But I was the one who desperately was trying to hold on to our broken family. I was the one waiting with open arms to forgive my husband, the sinner, when he came back to his senses by repenting and coming back home from the far country. Scribe, Pharisee, whitewashed tomb. If you can identify with this sinful and prideful mindset, if this is you, I would beg you to get on your face before God and ask Him to cleanse you of this attitude that will not only inhibit restoration, but will also put you in opposition to a sincere and intimate relationship with God. Pray. Begin by praying Psalm 51, 2 through 4. Let's pray together. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in Thy sight. So Thou art justified when Thou dost speak, and blameless when Thou dost judge. Amen. There is much more on praying in the last two chapters of this book. Seek My face. It says once again, if My people who are called by My name humble themselves and pray and seek My face. That's 2 Chronicles 7:13. It also says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. That's 1 Chronicles 16:11. It also says, seek My face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek Me. Hosea 5:15. They were radiant. The verse says, they looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. That's Psalm 34:5. Seek His face. So many seek His hand, what He can do for me. But those who seek the face of God will inherit all things. Turn from your wicked ways. Once again, that verse says, if My people who are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. 2 Chronicles 7:13. Scriptures are not only for the head, they are for the heart and the will. To get the real impact of Scripture, we must surrender our lives and our wills to the leading of the Spirit. We must be willing to be made over. We must yield to Him. To obey is better than sacrifice. It says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:22. Do you know the right thing to do, yet you do not do it? Obey it. It says, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's from James 4:17. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will enable you to walk in the Spirit, not in sin or fleshly desires. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit right now. It says, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." That's from Ezekiel 36:27. It also says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." That's from Galatians 5:16. Pray, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." 2 Chronicles 7:13-16. At a Restore Ministries encouragement course, all the women whose husbands were with other women, OWs, prayed for their wombs to be closed. All were closed except one. And God used this child as his tool to mend this family. We can always trust God to bring about everything for our good. It says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Romans 8:28. What condition is needed to be heard? Conform your desires to his will. Jesus' promise is based on this condition. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it should be done for you." That's from John 15:7. When your heart rests in Jesus alone and your will is centered in his will, you are truly making him Lord. And to know his will is to know his word. It is his will that your marriage be healed. He hates divorce and we are to be reconciled. However, he has conditions. The condition for every blessing. Each promise given by God has a condition for that blessing. Many will claim a portion of the scripture, yet omit the conditions or overlook them. For instance, condition, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise, and you shall be saved. That's from Acts 16:31. The condition, delight yourself in the Lord and his promise, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's from Psalm 37:4. The condition, train up your child in the way he should go. The promise, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's Proverbs 22:6. The condition, first, to those who love God, and secondly, to those who are called according to his purpose. And the promise, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. That's from Romans 8:28. Your tears are precious to him. To whom do we cry? Men seem to hate our tears. Is it because they don't know what to do when a woman cries, or because the female has used tears to manipulate him so much so that he stands afar off? The fact that God is a jealous God and those tears belong to him could be the reason for our husband's indifference at times to our tears. It says, "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, 'Here I am.'" That's from Isaiah 58:9. It says, "Do not cease to cry to the Lord, for our God for us." This victory may take longer to be manifested in the flesh. We hope for the things that are unseen. It will need our faith in God. Cry to him alone, not your husband. Only God has the power to change your situation. My tears. The verse says, "I am weary with sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears." Psalm 6:6. It also says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long." Psalm 42:3. It also says, "Put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Psalm 56:8. It also says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting." Psalm 126:5. Also, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning." That's from Joel 2:12. To find a greater walk and intimacy with the Lord, visit our website first thing in the morning for our daily devotional that is written especially for those in marital crisis. Tears, crying out, wailing. You must find and write down scriptures that will help you understand the heartfelt sincerity needed when we cry out to God, especially for our husband's salvation or for a broken or troubled marriage. As you read through them, mark those that move your heart and memorize them during your prayer time, on your knees before the Lord. We are told to pray, to cry out to God. Personal commitment to allow God to change me. Based on what I have learned from God's Word, I commit to allowing God to change me through whatever means or through whomever He chooses. I will focus my attention on changing myself rather than my husband or others around me. If you agree with that statement, date and sign your book. This is the end of chapter 2.